You know, I don't think that what happened was just, and I think Kevin was a good speaker, and I think that Kevin will be, you know, a good speaker in the future. So I just, that's where I'm at. And
have any of the eight who blackmailed the caucus, have any of the eight come around? I thought maybe Burchett and Mace might wake up to the fact of what they had done. Rosendale may be aware that he's ruined his chances. I don't have any hope for Matt Gaetz at all. He's your colleague in the Florida delegation, but I don't have any hope for him. Have you spoken to any of the other seven who might actually realize what they've done?
No, I haven't. And, look, I just, it's very upsetting to me. I mean, Matt Gaetz was the leader of the pack, and there was really no reason to remove Kevin McCarthy. Most of it had to do with either personal reasons or had to do with something with, personal or political, that somehow they did some political math and felt that this was a better way to go for them individually, but not for the conference as a whole. Obviously, you know, this is insanity. This has really hurt the party. It hurts our chances to keep and expand the majority in 24. And there may be some there in that group that don't want to expand the majority, because if you expand the majority, then eight, you know, will no longer control the destiny of the party, or a small group can no longer control the destiny of the party or the conference. And that's in their plans to, you know, have an exorbitant amount of influence because our majority is so slim. And that's not right. You know, it's just not right. I'm a team player, always have been a team player. It doesn't mean that I give up my voting card, and I'm not giving up my voting card. People yesterday said, well, whoever comes out of here, we all have to go for it. Well, wait a minute, excuse me. Those rules went away, you know, last Tuesday. And so, you know, I'm not willing to say whoever comes out of there with more votes is that's the person I'm going to vote for. I said that I'm voting for Kevin McCarthy. I'm voting for Kevin McCarthy.
Now, I'm also wondering, have your colleagues realized that the events in Israel on Saturday have added urgency to our getting a speaker?
Yeah, we understand that. But I've also, you know, people have asked me that. I said, we need to get this right. You know, urgency, getting something quick. You may regret that, so we need to get it right. And so it's going to take a couple more days. It's going to take a couple more days. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. So, you know, we'll see. It has to shake itself out. Maybe the outcome isn't anything anybody is looking at right now. A name that maybe nobody's looking at right now may be the outcome, you know, of this as we finally select a speaker. All this stuff is very fluid. There's still a lot of emotion. You can see it. You can hear it in my voice. I'm extremely frustrated. I don't think what happened on Tuesday was right. It's an unjust act to a good person, and I won't participate in something like that. And so I think we need to reinstate Kevin McCarthy. Can we get three, four of them to change their minds? I don't know. That needs to be asked of them. Some of them already publicly stated no. Some of them said that it's very difficult, and I understand that, but, you know, I believe what they did was wrong, and I just can't participate in moving forward that way.
Well, Godspeed in that, Congressman, because I think 99% of Republicans agree with you, even though 96% of the caucus was not enough to keep Kevin McCarthy in the chair. I think 99% of the party thinks these eight people are crazy, and they're burning up their political capital. I don't know if they realize that. They're done.
Well, I listen. I don't speak ill or wish, you know, ill of my colleagues. I think one way to reduce the influence of eight or ten people is to have a greater majority, and then, you know, people can take the votes that they need to take. These eight seem to think that it's, you know, their way or the highways. You know, something. You know, I heard Nancy Mace the other day something. Well, he didn't bring my bill up or whatever. It's not up to the speaker. These same people asked for regular order. Well, regular order means it all goes to the committee process. It's voted on. Amendments are voted up or down. And then the bill is brought up or down, you know, according to the conference will, not the speaker's will. And so, well, the speaker told you that, you know, well, he said he was going to put this on the floor. Wait a minute. You know, you asked for regular order. Well, if it's regular order, then we should have regular order. And regular order is for everybody, not just for everybody else. And then you get to do whatever you want.
Good luck tonight, Congressman, in being heard, and I hope people rally to your standard, because what happened last week was outrageous, and we need to get our act together because we're on the brink of war. Congressman Carlos Jimenez, thank you for joining me. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Harley. I'll be back tomorrow, America, with all the latest news from around the world. I'm keeping my eye on it.
But you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt for BestHotGrill.com. BestHotGrill.com also makes great products for your fireplace. Rasmussen Fireballs transform your fireplace and fire pit to a contemporary look that will be the envy of your neighbors. Fireballs are the modern standard for your fireplace. Don't settle for the traditional gas log. Go bold with Rasmussen Fireballs. Learn more about Rasmussen Fireballs and Solaire Infrared Grills at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com. Rasmussen Fireballs at BestHotGrill.com.
Finding the right employees is a struggle, and the wrong hire can cost you tens of thousands of dollars. I'm Andrew Krabschetz with RedBalloon.Work. Every week we connect reliable job seekers with serious companies without all today's woke nonsense. If you're looking for motivated, values-aligned talent, then post your jobs on RedBalloon.Work and use promo code SALEM for 10% off your first month. That's RedBalloon.Work and promo code SALEM, because life's too short to deal with a bad hire.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Lords and ladies, be not shy. Come and give our fair a try. Whether it's to eat or to drink in the suite, our festival cannot be beat. Clark County Parks and Recreation presents the Age of Chivalry Renaissance Festival, October 13th through 15th at Sunset Park. Experience three exciting days of jousting, steel tournaments, feasting, shopping, live music, merriment, and more. Explore any one of our eight unique villages filled with knights, royalty, barbarians, pirates, fairies, hobbits, and more. Discover, indulge, and enjoy as you join us at Sunset Park for the Age of Chivalry Renaissance Festival. On Friday and Saturday, October 13th and 14th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, October 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Free parking with shuttle service will be available Friday after 5, Saturday and Sunday after 11 a.m. at Cannon Junior High School, with overflow parking available at Sports Park on Sunset and Las Vegas Boulevard. This event is brought to you by Clark County, Finlay Chevrolet, Four Peaks Brewing Company, CW Las Vegas, My LVTV, and News 3 Las Vegas. Tickets available at lvrenfair.com or text royalty to 888-111 for a free mobile app download.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Day four of the war, Israel versus the terrorists. Israeli air power being brought to bear on the Hamas stronghold of Gaza City, possibly softening up the target before sending in the troops. And with the toll of dead and injured rising throughout Israel, one prominent Israeli journalist is calling on the Biden administration to stop trying to handcuff his country's response to the wave of Hamas terrorist attacks. Joel Rosenberg, founder of the Jerusalem news website AllIsrael.com, says one top administration figure needs to back off.
Secretary of State Blinken is trying to negotiate Turkey to bring a ceasefire. A ceasefire. Can I just say that if you've got a school anywhere in America and there's a mass shooter in the building, you do not tell the SWAT team to do a ceasefire. You don't tell the SWAT team to de-escalate. No, you blow the guy's head off and rescue the children. But already the Biden administration is telling us we need a ceasefire. No, we don't. We need our hostages back. We need Hamas eradicated.
Joel Rosenberg adds that Israel will forcefully retaliate for this week's terrorist atrocities, despite criticism from the Biden administration or the American media. The latest in the investigation of President Biden's handling of classified documents, President answering questions from the special counsel looking into the matter.
The president was interviewed at the White House on Sunday and Monday. A White House spokesman said the interview was voluntary on the part of the president and that he is cooperating with the investigation. A special counsel is looking into Mr. Biden's handling of sensitive documents that were found in a private D.C. office and in the garage of his Delaware home.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. A car rammed into the Chinese consulate in San Francisco wound up in the lobby. Chaotic scene, and it ended with police shooting the driver, who later died in the hospital. Dow futures higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Mortgage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. Thousands of hospitality workers to be picketing on the Las Vegas Strip this week as Culinary Local 226 puts pressure on hotel casinos to sign a new five-year contract. Now, the two-hour informational picket lines are scheduled to happen on Thursday in front of eight Strip casinos, including Park MGM, Paris Las Vegas, and New York, New York. Union officials say the picket lines are not a work stoppage. Workers in those lines will join before or after their work shifts. Negotiations ongoing between the union and three major employers, Caesars Entertainment, MGM Resorts International, and Wynn Resorts. Contracts at the Big Three Strip employers expired last month, leaving about 40,000 union members working without a contract. Clark County teachers want the right to strike. The Clark County Education Association filing a lawsuit seeking to overturn Nevada's longtime ban on public employee strikes. The teachers union has filed that complaint in district court against the state of Nevada and Clark County School District. That lawsuit contends that five provisions of state laws related to strikes are unconstitutional and invalid. School district officials say they're evaluating those complaints. And the court filing comes just after a district court ruling last month that a teacher strike had in fact happened and after the school district declared an impasse in collective bargaining with the union. Those two sides have had 11 negotiating sessions since last March with no success. Arbitration is coming up next. No big winner in last night's Powerball drawing, so tomorrow night's top prize, it'll be worth $1.73 billion, or $756 million if you want it in a lump sum, the second largest jackpot in U.S. lottery history. The odds of winning, 1 in 292.2 million. But as always, you gotta play to win. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com and click on that listen live button.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Already dealing with a major issue through the resort corridor. Northbound I-15 is jammed up approaching Charleston. You have the left lanes blocked there. Looks like just two right lanes are open here because of an accident on 15 northbound. Again, just past Charleston. Braking already starting to back up near Spring Mountain on 15 northbound after Charleston. All clear on 215, 95 and Summerlin Parkway right now. On the surface streets, injury accident on Valley View between Desert Inn and Sahara. That's at Valley View and Penwood Avenue. Sunny, windy, slightly cooler today with highs stopping right around the 90-degree mark. Winds could gust up to near 30 miles per hour. 75 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
I'm the king of the world! Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Friend lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Tuesday, October the 10th. Hard to believe it. Hard to believe it, but it's here. We're going to be covering a lot of ground today. The latest in the war in the Middle East. We've got a big win for the Raiders last night here in town. Really exciting. We'll talk about that. And also something that's going on right now. The American Federation for Children, better known as AFC, has announced the creation of a new super PAC. They spend a lot of money. They spend a lot of money in the midterms, and they're going to be spending even more money in the general election of 2024. Nathan Kunin joins us, the communication strategist for the American Federation for Children. He joins us. Nathan, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Before we get too far down the road, the American Federation for Children, what is it? What does it do?
Absolutely. The American Federation for Children is the nation's largest school choice advocacy organization. We fight to create programs that allow education dollars to follow the students to the best education provider for their individual kid. So that could be a public school to which they are not assigned. That could be a charter school. That could be a homeschool. And yes, that could be a private school. And we believe that students should be able to use the education dollars that are meant for their education at whatever range of providers is best for that individual kid.
I know that AFC was very, very active in the midterms. They spent upwards of, I believe it was $9 million. Are you going to be spending like that sort of money when it comes to the next election in 2024?
That's correct. So in the midterm elections, as you're 100% correct, we spent about $9 million across our state and affiliated committees. We had enormous success. The candidates supported by us and those who supported school choice won around 75% of their elections, which is both indicative of parental support for school choice and, you know, good campaigns. And we intend to continue to do that and continue to fight and spend on behalf of school choice and parents around the country. Late last month in September, we announced the formation of a federal super PAC, the American Federation for Children Victory Fund, that will seek to champion parents and champion students and fight for school choice all over the country. And we intend to spend at least $10 million in that effort in the upcoming elections.
That's incredible. That is incredible. Do you get a sense after victories in legislatures across the country, including, I think, North Carolina and other places, do you get a sense that the tide is starting to turn in favor of school choice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the last 2 years alone, 9 states have passed universal school choice in which every single student is eligible for these programs, and several other states have passed compelling programs that are advancing the cause. As I speak to you right now, I'm actually standing in the Texas legislature where a special session is currently ongoing, with school choice being a major component of the agenda that we're discussing. And everywhere that I go, people are talking about this, people are getting excited, and I absolutely think that there has been a huge momentum shift in favor of parents and in favor of families that is leading to all of these school choice victories.
Will it be an issue that resonates in the next election?
I think so. I think so. I mean, look, and this is sort of the philosophy behind our federal super PAC efforts is, you know, there are education special interests that are not representative of parents and families. You know, there are national teachers unions which leverage hundreds of millions of dollars a year. There are state-based education associations and school board associations, and all of those things are good and fine in their own right. But, you know, the goal of our super PAC and the goal of our organization is to give parents and families a bat and ball when it comes to fighting for these things against some of these major spenders. And I think that the parental enthusiasm that we're seeing from the ground roots, coupled with, you know, some smart investments in the political side, I think we're going to be massively successful both next year and for years to come.
The AFC Victory Fund, what does it allow you to do that you couldn't do without it?
Well, the federal super PAC is regulated by the FEC, so it definitely creates an easier process for investment. I also think that it grabs a lot of attention. We've been very privileged to enjoy lots of media coverage since we have launched this PAC, which is extremely helpful to let legislators know, hey, look, if you don't support school choice, you are a target. And if you do support school choice, then you found yourself a shield. And that's really our message to legislators around the country is, hey, if you're going to fight for parents and families, then we're going to fight for you. And if you fight against parents and families, then we're going to fight against you.
You know, Nathan, of the history here in the state of Nevada, ESAs, education savings accounts, were approved. But the funding mechanism was deemed unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And the legislature, controlled by Democrats, has they've absolutely abandoned the idea of school choice. They won't even take it up for a hearing.
That's right.
What can you do in states like Nevada to help the cause of school choice?
Right. Well, I always like to start the process by saying, you know, it's really important to educate our elected officials about the realities of school choice. There are so many myths that are spread about education freedom out there. And when you really dive into the facts, it is almost impossible to not come to the conclusion that school choice helps kids and helps families. So I always like to start with educating our legislators. But as you discuss, you know, in Nevada, especially with the history of this movement and some of the problems that have come, especially this last legislative session, sometimes education isn't enough. Sometimes you really need to go in there and get new legislators. School choice is overwhelmingly popular across the country and in Nevada, and there are legislators that are refusing to debate something that is important to the constituents that elected them. You know, we have lots of polling information and other mechanisms that show that people in Nevada want this, and yet their representatives refuse to discuss it. So sometimes you've got to go in there and vote them out and get new legislators. I mean, that's definitely something that our PAC is interested in, and, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Is it to the point where your PAC will ultimately be cutting checks to candidates who favor school choice?
So I can't comment exactly on the strategy or how exactly we'll be looking to allocate our resources or make our investments. I can confirm that, yes, indeed, we will be looking to support candidates who support school choice and oppose candidates who oppose school choice. And the actual mechanism of what that will look like is being determined and will vary in depending on time and place. But that's our overarching goal, is we want to be the shield for legislators who fight for families, and we want to target legislators who don't.
Again, Nathan Kunin joining us. He is a communication strategist for the American Federation for Children. Their new super PAC, AFC Victory Fund. What is your message to parents? They're frustrated. They want to have a say in their children's education. They believe in school choice. In fact, here in Nevada, it's like 60-70% favor school choice. What would be your message to parents out there all across the state of Nevada?
I think parents need to recognize and grasp the power that they really have. We have seen a groundswell of parents as a new special interest group in this country within the last 3 or 4 years. And I think that parents should lean into it. Look, you know, AFC and the AFC Victory Fund will be fighting for these programs at the national and state levels. But at the end of the day, there is nothing that is more valuable to the school choice movement than a parent making their voice heard, a parent that is willing to get involved, a parent that's willing to show up and vote. And I think as long as parents continue to do that the way that they have in the last 3 or 4 years, then I think there will be a lot more opportunities for their children in the coming years.
AFC was able to assist in the victory of 277 out of 368 state-level electoral races. Is it safe to say that you will be active as an organization in a lot of these state races across the country?
That's correct. That's correct. And I will make one comment about our victory rate. It helps when you cook with the right food. You know, one of the reasons that we have such strong win rates is because there is such support for school choice at the ground level. And that's something, at least for me personally, I feel really honored to be able to work on.
Nathan, I talk to parents all the time. I talk to teachers, and they repeatedly tell me, we want to do something, but we just don't know what to do. I'm just one person. I've got two kids. They're school age. I just don't know what to do. What is your message to the parents out there that want to get involved in this fight? And it is a fight. Let's just face it. It is a fight. What is it that you think parents should and can do?
Right. Well, the first thing I would say is I think they should visit American Federation for Children's website, which is federationforchildren.org, and sign up for our updates there, because we have a very dedicated, very talented team who spends a lot of time making sure that parents and families across the country are updated with what's going on in their state and giving them the opportunity to get involved if they so want to. That's probably the easiest way to get a constant information flow. But beyond that, I think, you know, parents, I always encourage parents to go out there and do some self-study on how the fight is going and the different parties in the fight. And for instance, here in Texas today, there's a huge group of parents who are showing up to testify and share their thoughts on the school choice bill. That's an incredibly powerful thing to do. When a parent shows up for a legislative testimony, all of the legislators' ears tend to perk up. So I would encourage parents to get involved that way. And then even at the most simplest level, one of the things that parents can do is to find out who on their ballot supports school choice. And, you know, sometimes that affects voting decisions and sometimes it doesn't, but I would encourage parents to discover those things.
What's the makeup of the Texas legislature? Is it are you confident that school choice will win in Texas in this special session?
I am. Well, there's a huge swing of momentum. Both the House and the Senate, it's a Republican-controlled trifecta, and I'm confident that we're going to have a victory here, just as we've had in several other states this year.
Yeah, that is the tremendous news. And again, Governor Greg Abbott calling a special session of the legislature there in the state of Texas. How long will they be in session?
So the governor has made it very clear that his priority is to pass a school choice bill. And he said very explicitly that if the legislature fails to pass a school choice bill on the first special session, then he'll call another one. So I don't have an answer for how long this could take.
Wow.
But, you know, as the Wall Street Journal has reported, there's an easy way to do it and there's a hard way to do it. And I'm holding out and hoping that the representatives here do the right thing and go the easy way.
Nathan, one more time before we leave you, how can folks get involved? How can they reach out to you at AFC?
Sure. Please visit our website, federationforchildren.org, and sign up for our updates there. We'll keep you updated and in the loop on all that's happening in the school choice fight, both in Nevada and nationally. Feel free to reach out to me at Nathan Tanine on Twitter or other platforms, and I'm always happy to answer questions.